Hey, greetings everybody, this is Brother James, NoParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you can hear me. I'm out walking and it's awful windy out here. We're on the Gospel Road. Full-time van dwellers preaching Christ crucified. Hey, today I want to talk to you about thoughts on raising godly children. Let's talk about raising children. Now, first, a disclosure. My children were grown and gone before I ever came to Christ. I was 45. So I haven't raised godly children from childbirth, but I do know a thing or two about God's Word. I do know a thing or two about children, and I have learned a thing or two about parenting. Let me see what I can offer to you with my limited experience on raising godly children. First, some scripture, 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So here he's talking about Timothy. Timothy knew the scriptures from when he was young. How important is it to raise children in the scriptures? The Bible is full of verses that tell us children should be raised in the admonition of the Lord so that they can come to the faith in God when they're at the account of ageability, and the parents' charge to get this done. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. I'm sure you know a lot of those scripture verses. So I'm not going to use a lot of scripture verses in this audio today, as very few people would doubt that the Bible definitely says train up a child in the truth. What I want to talk about is what's the parent's job, and then some practical ways that we can go about giving children a solid foundation of truth so they can then what? Choose Christ when they get to that age of accountability, right? So now, if you're born of God by the biblical gospel, check it out at don'tperish.com. You know that we are not to be of the world. We're to live holy. We're separate. We're saints. We're called out. We're aliens in this world. And we're to strive for daily holiness in Christ Jesus. That would be for us, our wives, our husbands, if you're married, and our children, right? This means you have to train up a child to grow up into that way of life, seeing it, accepting it, understanding it in Scripture, versus allowing them to choose their own ways, to be worldly, to be adapted and molded by the world, then having to repent and leave it all to choose Christ one day. That doesn't make any sense, does it? No. So the key is, don't live as the world, live as God's Word calls us to. Our website is all about that, teaching you how to do that. First, let's talk about some key things for parents to remember, then we'll get to the children and some practical ideas. You are to be an example to them, and you are to live out holiness and obedience to the Word of God in all your ways. Otherwise, they're going to quickly see your hypocrisy. Children are not dumb. Couple of things. Oh, there's an ambulance going by. Couple of things. Homeschooling is an absolute must. You cannot let the world and church systems train up your children. They will destroy their faith and their morality. Here's an important one. Parents, your children are God's. They are not yours. God owns them. He only gives you to them for a while to raise up. Too many people claim ownership. That's sin and prideful. Don't do that. The children are God's, they're not yours, but for a short time. Live that way and you'll do well. Remember, your number one job is following God, not living for being partial and lifting up your children as idols. That's an easy thing to say. It's hard to do. Most people don't do it well. They really, really, really put a lot of emphasis on their children over everything else in life, including marriage. I've seen it including over their faith. That's idolatry. Don't do it. Your number one job is to serve God. Everything else falls underneath that. The other thing to remember, your children are not born Christians. You know, a lot of people think because you're a born-again Christian, you have children, that your children are born-again Christians set for heaven. That's just not true. They are God's, as I said. You don't own them. God owns them. And until the age of accountability, whenever that is, based on each child, they must then choose to believe the gospel and repent and to be born of God. No one's born a Christian at birth. You must be born by the Spirit, John 3, right? Your job is to get them to the place where they can make that decision. You need to, of course, love them with all your heart as a parent, not like you love God. But don't let them become your main focus. God is your main focus. And you can't be partial to them over your husband, your wife, your ministry, your service to God. God hates partiality. And really, you need to learn to see the value of all humans, not just your children as special. I know that's really hard for you. But your children are no more special than the drunk in the gutter to God. Yeah, you have to come to grips with that. See the value of all humans, not just your blood relatives. This will grow your desire for ministry and help you keep the second great command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Also know that you only have them for a short season, like I said, and they must choose Christ one day. Your job is to get them to the place where they can make that choice in Christ. It's not your job to choose for them. You can't make them Christians. You can only guide them and give them instruction along the way and be a model and example. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is likened unto children, or four children and their faith. We all come as children, right? We all came as little babes to the Lord, not knowing hardly anything, placing our faith in Him, and then through the Word and the Spirit we grow. Well, children are going to come the same way. Just remember, parents, Jesus said in Matthew 7, few are going to find eternal life. That's few. I have articles on that. It's really few. I believe a child raised in a truly godly biblical home does have a better chance at finding and choosing eternal life in Christ, but it still is few who will choose it and strive for it and endure and make it. Most of them, youth, whether they're of the world or churchianity or true biblical saints, most of them get influenced by the worldly ways, fleshly offerings, and they often choose that at least for a season, or sometimes they never come back at all. Just know that. Few are going to make it. That's what the Word says. You need to trust in that. Don't make your children an idol. Don't be partial. Don't be believing they're going to make it to heaven just because you're a good parent. No, they have to decide. They have to be born of God. Keep that all in check. The other thing is, never let children come between you, your walk with God, or in between mom and dad's relationship. That's sinful and idolatrous. Children are going to leave when they're age 18, 20, whatever. Godly marriage is a covenant for life, and your commitment to Christ is eternal. Children are a small part of that. No partiality, not idolatry when it comes to children. Very, very common thing. So your job as parents is just guide them through their youth, lay a foundation for their faith, Ephesians 2:20, Christ, the prophets, and the apostles, and help them one day to make a decision. Many will reject it. A few will choose it. Many leave. See the prodigal son, right? It all can happen that way. But plant seeds in them, like the parable of the sower. Some fall on rocky ground, some into the thorns, some on fertile ground. Just do your job, right? As a parent, that's all you can do. That's all you can control is your job. That's all God expects of you, doing your job. Keep them from evil and sinful influence. 1 Thess 5, avoid all appearance of evil. So protect them. Little babies can't protect themselves. Little toddlers can't protect themselves. Preteens can't protect themselves. Protect them from evil influence, bad doctrine, false associations, things like that. So all of this is the point. The point is that they can come to have the knowledge of God, that they understand the gospel, God's word, they see the Creator, and again, they choose Him as adults one day, or young adults. You can't make them into saints as little babies, even though if they die under the age of accountability, I believe they're with God, of course, but they still must grow up and make a decision. And it's not you that adds them to the body of Christ for eternal life. Go read Acts 2 at the end of it. It says God adds to the body as He sees fit. In Matthew 16, I believe it is, Jesus said, I will build my body. He builds the body. It's either Mark or Matthew 16. I will build my body. All right? We don't add people to the body. That includes your children. They have to come through the blood of Christ and through repentance. Your job is to get them there through the knowledge of God. So I encourage you to have all your joy in Christ, not in your children being saints. You don't know if that's even going to happen. That's a harsh reality. I have to tell you that. So this all seems harsh, I know, but you must love God so much. Hear me out here. You must love God so much that if your children turn on Him and hate Him as adults, that you still want God to be glorified and understand that His justice will be served if they perish. God before all else. Didn't Jesus say you have to hate other family members compared to loving Him? That would include your children. So, we know all of this as adults, as parents, is part of us living out our job. And we want to call them to not be like the world. Call them to be seeking after characteristics of godly people as they're being formed and molded. That's your job. Put them in a place where they can see who Christ is. Give them the truth. Give them the gospel. Show them the example. Give them a godly home. Keep them from evil. Help them, guide them through decisions. Then they have to choose. So, now that we've covered some basic viewpoints of parents on children that'll help you have a balanced view, how do we raise them up, you're saying? In the Lord's admonition. Well, some ideas for United Christian Homes that I have, that I would think of doing if I was one of those parents. Number one, parents, you got to be the example, live holy, be biblical, keep the gospel. You must be the most perfect example you can be. Without that, you'll be a hypocrite. Number two, the home life must be holy, filled with the gospel, the things of God most of all. Yeah, pretty important. Three, the pursuits, hobbies, time spent, whatever. I don't like the word hobbies, activities. And daily life must be holy. Holy means to be set apart for God. It's all good, pure, and true. Philippians 4:8. Set on the kingdom of God. Four, associations of the family must be holy, separate, not bad unbiblical influences of family, churchianity, unbiblical family members. That all has to be put away. Can't let them train your children, influence your children. You have to keep them from those false ways and keep them in the truth of God's word. That's why they're going to have a chance at the gospel when they grow older, if you can do that. The Bible says bad company corrupts. We see so many children shipwrecked because people allow family members and churchianity in their life for all the wrong reasons. Don't do it. Five, the use of all the time must be pure, good, true, holy, and have a purpose. Glorifying God, teaching them skills, teaching them a work ethic, teaching them service of others, things like that. Very little idle, wasted, useless time. Six, rules of the home for respect and discipline need to be in place. Sparing the rod is spoiling the child. Yeah, use the rod. Go read the Old Testament and Proverbs about children. Discipline will help form them into disciples of Christ when they make that decision. Now, mom and dad have to set a schedule of daily life and a pattern that is consistent, like the sun going up and down every day, focused on a few key things. Serving God first, knowing Him, His word, His ways. Serving each other, family, neighbors, friends, loving your neighbor. Duties and learning how to work and labor. Ministry activity. Then recreation time, or recreation time, not recreation time. Recreation time, where you get out in God's creation, focus on the Lord, and then have some time, downtime away from all of life's normal distractions. Play time for very small children, that's important. With learning, and then of course there's sleep and eating, home chore duties, good basic all-around work habits. Laid out in a schedule, timely manner. Why do we do this? Because children are going to grow up and have schedules to meet and timelines to meet and a regular life to live. Teach them that at a young age and they'll model and mold right into it as they get older. Now, at a very young age, you want to teach children life is not about them. Not here to serve them. Not all about them, but to be serving God and serving others. This is why people ask me all the time, this is why birthdays and parties and this are a bad idea, because it teaches that it's about you and I'm getting gifts and oh, you're so old now and all this. No. Teach them early that life's not about them. Teach them not to be prideful and selfish. That's a cancer to a true godly saint in the future. Hard to do, I understand. But if you're out of the culture, how are they influenced by birthday parties and all that? Don't let them be going to people's houses to do that. Tell them we don't do that. Tell them we follow God. Give them a reason for the purpose of what you're doing things. Build a biblical basis for all of these things. Amen? Amen. All the evil influences that are out in the culture and in churchianity, the world, whatever, TV, movies, video games, unbiblical music, social clubs, sports, unbiblical interests, activities, hobbies, whatever you want to call them, you got to filter all that out. That's not for the life of someone you're setting their feet on the road to the gospel. Yeah, it's going to be denial for them. Mm-hmm. People in the neighborhood, oh, go to baseball. We don't do that. Kill your flesh. The life of a Christian is flesh killing. Teach them as children, it's time to kill your flesh now. Very, very important. Here's a big one. Learn to keep them busy at home in the things that are of God, right? All kinds of things you can do that. Learning, storybooks, they can draw about God, they can memorize scriptures, all kinds of things. You can be very creative. And then, teach them things that they will use as adults. Not silly, foolish, wasted time. Skills, interests, motor skills, knowledge that they'll need as young adults to live, work, provide, be homekeepers, things like that of that nature. Don't do silly, idle, foolish things. Children don't need silly, idle, foolish things. They need quality, good, pure, and true, and about the things of God, and teaching them to be young adults. That's the goal. Train them up to be godly young adults, not to keep them silly, foolish children for a long time. I hear parents say this all the time to me when they ask for advice. Oh, how can I remove all the things of the world from my children? What will they do? Well, I don't see an issue here. Let me give you my background quickly. I did grow up in the country. I was fishing for food, going out camping and chopping wood, learning how to farm and grow a garden, hunting for meat. We were always building things, buildings, houses, barns. We were hiking for our recreation time. I didn't grow up in a godly home, by the way. We lived really simple. I enjoyed God's creation even before I knew about Christ. I loved the creation, was always trying to understand it. And all the skills I used as a young adult and a child, they became part of my adult life. Running a business, working the business world, growing food, surviving. Yeah. So I don't see how it really is a problem, although I will say, city life is a lot harder for godly children because there's a lot more temptation right in front of them. Get out in the country. Big yard, a garden, raise animals for food, a lot more responsibility for the children. So it's a lot easier if you're in the country. I tell people, get out in the country if you can. But not everybody can. Strive where you are and go to parks. Go to things that are good and pure, as true as best you can. And keep your children from all those temptations in the city. If there's a lot of sin and garbage around them in the city, you can expect it may rub off on them. That's why I say get to a different environment. That's why I said public school is out, homeschooling is in. So the key is a simple, pure, quality home life full of God's truth, the gospel, learning about God, and then much godly, good activity, training them up in skills and interests for future life. All right? Training them up to be young adults, right? Mom and dad that are united in these efforts, that helps a lot. We know that. Mom and dad each striving for the kingdom. So here, boys, learning how to build things, hands-on skills, trades, farming, outdoor skills, tools, things that a young boy will grow into to be a dad and a husband to raise his family and support them. Young girls, learning Titus 2 mother skills, cooking, gardening, canning, sewing, simple job skills if she has to get a job. All of it so that we meet God's order. All these things can be found in good, pure, and true activities that we can start from the infant ages all the way up to teens. If you're creative, use all kinds of creative ideas. You can find all kinds of ideas out there on the internet if you look for them. And here's a key. I did this even before I was in Christ. Let playtime for your children be about skills learning. Critical skill learning that they need when they grow up, not just idle, foolish stuff. Think about that. Learning about math, learning about reading, learning about nature, learning about tools, learning about building, learning about treating people right, learning about helping others. All right? Training them up to be young, functioning adults. This is why that helps. That's why that's the goal. Amen? Not keeping them at home silly and foolish. So make sure that you're teaching them God's gospel, the gospel, truth of God's word is their foundation, and then everything else you're building on top of that. Amen? God's truth, the gospel, their future decision to follow Christ, then everything else built on top of that. Think Philippians 4:8, good, pure, true activities. These mold them into young, godly-minded, moral-minded young adults ready to make the gospel choice to follow Christ. They're not always going to like it. I know that. But you must be firm. You must be the authority. You must be bold. You must be loving. You must be patient. You must give them the guidance. You know best, parents, if you're following Christ. Those little children don't know best. They'd eat candy every day for dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, wouldn't they? Most of them would. Let's talk about genders. Boys must be taught to revere God, how to lead, how to work with their hands, solve problems, how to protect things, defend things, gain confidence in their skills, knowing God's word, and then be willing to teach it to others, right? Young girls, reverence for God and knowing his word as well, of course. Then submission to godly authority, nurturing skills, shamefastness, all the Titus 2 homekeeper skills, simple job skills as well. And the big key when it comes to children and molding them to be future Christ followers, teach them to have a servant's heart, to not want for material things of the world, lowly, pure, low jobs, trade jobs. That'll do fine. See, higher education and all of these passions that people want to do, it's a devil's trap. It leads people into their own world, their own lusts, their own self-fulfillment, their own selfishness, and not God's plan for their life, their plan for their life. I've always wanted to be a veterinarian. Yeah. Okay, see how that takes God out of the picture and lets them lead their own life? No, we're supposed to be led of God, and higher education is a trap of the devil. And both the children, boys and girls, can learn how to make money via little side businesses and activities you do, handling their money, learning how to save it, learning how to budget, getting home allowance, doing chores, all this stuff, building them for the future. Not foolish, silly TV time, not doing things that are idle and childish, but training them up to become young adults. Now, mom and dad need to take age-appropriate children and teach them based upon each child. That's very important. Each child is different for different, ready for different things at different times. All right? And so you're planting seeds in them as they grow. It's kind of like having the sex talk with children. It all comes at different times based on the child, right? Yeah. Same with the things of God. Make sure you adapt what you're telling them for their mentality, if I could say, at that time, and mold individual programs for each child. No cookie cutter program for children other than preaching them God and the gospel, but then mold it around them to meet their needs and their maturity level and their age. This one's important too. Activities should always be gender appropriate and skill related, with the goal of them taking their place in God's order. I gave you some examples with boys and girls, but in general, no Tom girls. You don't need girls acting like Tom girls. Little girls need to act like girls. And you don't need boys being feminized. I'm just going to leave it there. I think you get my point. Look at this crazy, messed up culture. God has distinction of sexes. He has roles for each one of them. You got to teach them those. Don't let them be blurring the lines, okay? That's going to help them a lot when they get older. Again, I want to encourage you. The goal is to train them up. I've said this a bunch of times, but it's so true. Be young adults for God's use and ready to make a decision to follow Christ. I've met so many parents that it seems like their goal is to keep their kids young, silly, and at home. Yeah. That's an idol. That's selfish. That's not what you want to do. And Titus 2 says youth should be sober-minded. You know, I really believe this. Children need to learn soberness at very young ages. And that at the appropriate time, they learn how to go run and play, skills-related events still, but far less than people think they need to. If you have them active in the home and housework and ministry and doing all kinds of things, they need far less goofy, silly time if they're being led with good, pure, and true activities. Amen? Amen. As adults, think of this. As adults, we don't get a lot of playing time, do we? You go out to play all the time? No, there's work, there's responsibility, there's chores. Children need to learn that at a young age. If life isn't about them, they need to take their place in God's order. Teach them about God's word, about home and work, service to others, learning a skill and labor for pay, how to do ministry. These are the main callings of Christ, not play and foolishness or fleshly ways. In the Jewish culture, young boys are considered adults about the age 13 because they grow them up and treat them that way. In other cultures, boys are running whole horse teams at age 10. And little girls, I've seen them, practically running entire homes before puberty. Yeah. All because they were given responsibility, trained up, not to be silly and foolish, but to be sober and into young adults. You know, the Bible talks about we're clay, right? God's the potter, we're the potter, the clay. He's the master. He's the pottery maker. Your children are clay as well. And oftentimes they will be what you mold them to be most often. Not necessarily spiritually, because they got to be born of God. That's out of your control. But they'll be molded personality-wise to being a hard worker, responsible, diligent, not silly, not foolish, self-control, discipline, by how you raise them. It's true. They will most times. Then they have to decide whether or not they're going to follow Christ, make an adult when they're young, make a decision when they're young adults, or they're tired of it all. They run off and go into the world and into their flesh. They may do that for a long time before they repent. They may never repent. And they may be lost. Yeah. You just have to deal with that, parents. They are not yours. Give them over to God. Do the best you can. Now, we talked about two parents united in the faith. Here's a hard scenario. You're in a marriage where your partner's not born of God. This is a tough spot. But you know what? You can find victory over this too in Christ if you fight the right battles. Meaning, you do your best to do all the godly influence you can in them, in the things you can control. If you're a mom and dad controls taking them to sports and music and the beach and worldly things, okay, there's not much you can do about that. You can have a talk with him, see if he'll relent to it, but if he won't, he's the man of the house, okay, you can't fight against that. But you have to trust in God, trust in his ways and his truth, and let it shine through you whenever you can. And do activities with them that are good and God-honoring. And they'll see the difference. Explain to them why you don't do those things. They'll see the difference. Teach them God's word. It'll be seeds in them. You cannot control it all, mom or dad. But you can have peace through it all. If you try to control it all, you won't have peace. But if you see that you can't control it all and know that God is in control, you can have peace. You see what I'm saying? It's a change of mindset. It's a change of allegiance. Your allegiance is all to Christ. You do your best and say, Lord, they're yours. Versus, I got to do everything and make it perfect or I can't sleep at night. See the difference? Yeah, I hope you see that. God's in control, not you or I. He's better at it. He's better at running the universe than you or I. So talk to your spouse. Try to do your best. Try to have compromise where you can if they're not believers. And then let it be what it is and do your best to counteract, right? Show them Christ in you. Don't partake in the sin that the dad or mom is giving them. They're not going to like it. You got to be salt and light, right? And show them so they can compare when they grow up. Dad lived this way. Mom was godly, lived this way. Huh? And they can see the difference. They're not going to like it. You know, if you say, I'm not attending your sports events, which you shouldn't, they won't like it. You're not going to their worldly instrumental music concerts. They won't like it. The flesh hates the obedience to God no matter the age. Trust me. But be patient. Be diligent. Serve God faithfully. Do your best. Your light will be seen. I promise you. Doesn't mean they're going to choose it. But your best chance is letting your light be seen. And as they get older, they can choose it or not. Now, if you're living for Jesus first and the most, that's your reasonable service. Children are just part of your ministry. They're not your entire ministry. Think of that. They're only part of it. They're not your entire ministry. They're only part of your life. They're not your entire life. They're not going to be with you your whole life. They're going to leave. If you view things this way in eternity, you won't be crushed by it all. But if you make them your everything, they're going to crush you. Matthew 22, love God with all that you are. That's the great command. That means you love God a lot more than you love your children. I'm just telling you the truth. That your hopes for God are a lot more than with your children. That your peace is with God, not with your children. You see what I'm saying? And then you can pray for them and be an example and do the best you can for them and then give them over to God. He knows your situation. If you're at home and the parents can be united and you can control everything, well, you better do that, parents. God knows and sees that. And if you're limited by an unregenerated, ungodly parent, or spouse, husband, wife, you do your best to be an influence and a godly person around them in all your ways. God sees that too, right? God sees. Trust in that. Consider this. I want to encourage you here. Consider this. Even if your child gets the worst upbringing, you will be able, when they're older, if you live it out faithfully, and you're born of God, and you're holy and obedient, you'll be able to share the gospel with them as adults. Then they get the chance to choose or reject Christ, right? Hey, there's hope. I was the worst of the worst, and I came to Christ at 45, and I didn't come out of a godly home. No kind of godly influence in my life. Sister Debbie had churchianity influence and a very ungodly home. She came to Christ very late in her life. That should be great hope for you, that if you can put seeds of truth and the gospel and God in your children, whether you do it together, united, or as a one parent as a Christian, you've got a great, great potential. And look at people come to Christ and did never had that. I had worldly, wicked influence in my life, but I came to Christ. So I hope that encourages you. I know a lot of moral families and almost biblical godly homes. They got some issues, but they were biblical in many ways. Their children rebelled against them. Yeah, both parents united and their children rebelled. There's no formula to this, all right? It's like life. There's no formula. The only sure thing is the gospel and Christ and living it out and you doing your best. That's what you are going to be judged by, your life, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. But you will be judged by how you influence them as best you can. Amen. They're part of your house. They're part of your responsibility. So there's always hope, saints. This is what I'm telling you. If there's breath, there's hope. If you're giving truth, there's hope. If you have two parents in God, there's hope. If you have one parent, there's hope. If you come from a family with nobody telling you about Christ, there's hope. Amen. What a glorious gospel we have. What a glorious Savior. So parenting's never easy, no matter your situation. So take heart. And I'm going to ask you this. Maybe this will help you. What's your focus and what is your portion in life? Is it your children? Or is it Christ most of all who died for you? Remember that. What's your portion? Christ came to give us peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I love that verse. Parents, don't let your children rule over you. Don't labor so hard in all these things we talked about that you can't control, that your peace is stolen. Live for Christ first and most of all. He's your love. He's your passion. He's your creator. He's your savior. He's your Messiah. He's your everything. Children are just part of your life for a very short time. Then they grow up and they leave. It's true. One day, they may be brothers or sisters. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Or they may go into the world rejecting God and perish. But you know what? Give them to God. He's bigger than you. He's greater than you. He can handle it. You can't. You just do your best. Make Jesus Christ your portion, your everything. He is to be our entire life. Amen. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I love that. Give your children the best shot, best chance you can give them in your best situation. Be holy, be godly, be biblical, preach the gospel, take them to ministry, teach them how to serve others, teach them to have skills to grow up and do simple basic things that make a basic living. Protect them from the world, protect them from evil, protect them from bad influences, right? Do everything you can, Parents United, single parents, one parent, one godly parent in the home. Then, when they're adults, continue to shine your light. If they'll listen, call them to Christ. And then you know you've done everything you can, and the greatest thing you can be is salt and light. Be the godly example yourself. I hope that helps you, parents. Coming from me, who never raised godly children, nope. But I have some insights dealing with a lot of people, dealing with my own worldly children, dealing as a parent, becoming a Christian and seeing the flip side, now doing ministry and teaching. Yeah, I can see a lot of stuff. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it a lot different. But you know what? I came from an ungodly home and I came to Christ at age 45. There is hope for your children no matter what. Do not give up. Pray, pray, pray for them. Be the godly example. Strive. Do not give up. The whole part of the Christian faith after the gospel, Jesus shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, repenting, coming to him, holiness and obedience by after we're born again and enduring in the faith. After that, the whole part of it, I just said it, enduring, being steadfast, holding fast, looking for the great hope and the coming of our Lord and Savior. I hope that's your portion. I hope that's your love. I hope that's what you're looking for. Most of all, and your children will see that in you one way or another. Hey, I love you all. Let me know I can help you in faith. Till next time, have a glorious day. May God be praised.